Welcome to Cowboy Church with your host, Russ Weaver, and Susie McIntyre. So sit back and enjoy some good singing, some great testimony, and some good preaching. Welcome to Cowboy Church.
Hi, I'm Susie McIntyre.
And I'm Russ Weaver.
And we want to welcome you to Cowboy Church today. We are here to share God's Word with you, to inspire you, and to lift you up in whatever situation that you're in.
I wish that I had the exact right tool to inspire people to read the Word of God. What does it take for you to read the Word?
I am not a reader. I went to college. I went to Oklahoma State University, and up to that point, I had been a reader of novels.
Did you graduate?
Yes, I did.
Without reading?
Oh, well, I hated
to read. I should have gone to that school.
No, you're jumping ahead of me here.
Okay, I'm sorry.
On reading, because I read chapter after chapter after chapter, and it was accounting and different subjects that I had to take, and so I didn't want to read anymore. And I got just a little bit of a deficit up here because I don't retain much. So it has to be in a song for me to really retain scripture. When we were singing a lot of the scriptures in praise and worship,
right?
You know, beloved, let us love one another,
sure.
You know, 1 John 4:7-8, I could memorize the scripture then, but I just got a little bit foundered on reading. And so I don't read it a lot, but you know what helps me, and this may help you also, is that I listen to one of the best preachers in all of the earth, is my husband, Mark. He is the absolute, he makes it come alive, and I can listen to him and I can learn so much more. But more than anything, I watch him live it.
Yeah.
And that is the most inspiring thing to me. So I suppose that I haven't really answered your question, but I believe that if people would see the Bible beyond what very religious and straight-laced people will preach, if they read the footnotes, if they read the stories behind the stories, and they kind of read up Tamar, for example.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Bathsheba.
Bad girls of the Bible.
And the bad girls of the Bible.
Yeah.
But you know what? They were in the genealogy of Christ in Matthew.
There's five of them. Yeah.
Yes. I mean, and that is so interesting. So start there.
Yeah.
I mean, start there, and women realize how you are loved by God.
Yeah, exactly.
Even as bad as you've been, you are loved and forgiven by God by His grace.
Right. One of the things that really helped me, have you ever read like a legal contract?
Oh, I hate them. I've been having to read a lot of them lately.
why would you read a legal contract?
To find out the details and what's binding and what's not binding, what I can do and what I can't do.
You didn't go down to the library and say, I want to read a legal contract. No.
I was made to.
No, you weren't really made to, but the reason it became interesting to you is because it actually had something to do with your living.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure.
And I think the Bible is a lot like that.
Yeah.
I think when we get involved in the things of God,
right,
and it becomes real to us.
Right. And we need it.
We need it.
You need it.
And you need to know how God thinks about our situation. All of a sudden, those that legal contract thing, it's not alive. But when God's in it, it inspires me. And
mm-hmm.
man, when I read the Bible, I realize that God has a covenant, not a contract in the Bible. It's a covenant.
Uh-huh.
God has a covenant with His people.
Right.
And if I want to find out how to operate in this life that He's given me, then it pertains to me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know it's not about me.
It involves you.
But it does pertain to me, and it pertains to all of my life, and it makes me excited. What's God going to speak to me about this great day right now that's in the Word of God?
Right.
And I mean, I go to it like every day.
Like a moth to a flame.
Yeah, yeah. And it's a treasure. And there's very few days. Every once in a while, though, I'll read through something and I will have been daydreaming right through the whole deal, and I have to go back and think, well, what did I just read?
Right.
You know, so, I mean, I have those days too. But the thing about it is when that word speaks, and it speaks life, and it speaks into my life, it's like me, oh, I understand why this legal contract's here.
Right.
You know, back when we had that, they had all these documents and things why you could and couldn't have church because of the COVID deal. Our guys start reading it because we start reading all the rules.
Right.
And we figured out a way, you know, those rules don't say you can't have a barrel racing. It says you can only have 10 people in the arena at a time.
Right, right.
So we'd have 8 people in the arena and the 2 people running the barrel racing, and it would go 30 minutes. We'd run them out and we'd run the next set in.
Right. Right.
And people
win-win situation.
Yeah, we had about 60 people. Nice barrel race. We decided to do it the next week. You know how many people showed up at our barrel racing? Biggest one we ever had. Over 600 barrel racers. They loved it because they could get there and get out of there.
Yeah, they knew when to come and when they could get out.
Yeah, but the thing that made it so workable is we started reading the rules and how it applies to us. And it's like God gave us an answer on how to stay within the boundaries, stay within the rules, and he knew what was happening, and he gave us a way to get through it. And I read the Bible that way, and I think, did you read? I get excited about it.
Yeah, that's
seriously
cool. That's really good, Russ. And here at Cowboy Church, that's kind of the things that you will hear if this is your first time. Things that are applicable to us in our everyday life. God's Word is not for 2,000 years ago, just for there. It's for today, and it's very relevant to our lives. So sit back and relax. You're going to go to Cowboy Church. If it's your first time, it might not be like anything else you've ever experienced, but I think you're going to love it. Thank you for being with us.
Thomas Dorsey was about to leave for an evangelistic meeting one afternoon, and his wife, Nettie, was really, really heavy with child. She was expected to have the baby at any time. But because of her insistence of him going on and not to worry about her, he went on to his meeting. He sang, he preached, and as he sat down, someone handed him a telegraph that said, "You need to come home. Your wife, Nettie, has died in childbirth." Thomas Dorsey, later, a few weeks later, lost his baby also. He went into such a depression that he quit singing, he quit playing his piano, he didn't do anything. And yet his piano teacher had all wisdom. He went and visited him one day and he coaxed him to sit down at the piano and just to start playing. As he started playing, this tune came to him, to this song. And then the words came out. And the words were more of a prayer in desperation for the Lord to pick him up, to take his hand and lead him on through life. This is a song that has blessed many people throughout the ages. Precious Lord.
Precious Lord, take my hand. Lead me on, help me stay. I am tired, I am weak, and I am worn. And through the storms, through the night, lead me on to your light. Take my hand, precious Lord. Linger near when my life, oh, my life is almost gone. And hear my cry, hear my call, hold my hand, lest I fall, and take my hand, precious Lord. Shadows appear and the night draws.
Remember when God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah? And he destroyed them because of their homosexuality. And Lot's wife looked back and turned into a pillar of salt. And Lot's two daughters thought that there was no sons born yet. They need to make sure that Lot has a son. So they got their dad drunk and had incestuous relationship with their dad. And a child was born. And the tribe of Moab came to be. Ruth was a descendant of that. They were so bad that they were the ones who hired Balaam. Remember Balaam, the guy who rode the donkey that the donkey talked to him? They hired Balaam to curse the men and women of God. And Balaam wouldn't do it because God said, I'm going to bless him. But then Balaam, in order to get his money from the Moabites, he told them this. He said, I'm going to tell you how to do this. I cannot curse them. But if you can get them to be involved in sexual relationship with your daughters, then God will curse them. And they deceived them. It was the Moabite women that came in and deceived the people of Israel, and thousands of men lost their life because of that. And God said this about them at that time. He says, these people will not be accepted in, and even if it's 10 generations, will not be accepted into the covenant plan that I have for Israel because of the sinfulness of their heart and because of the wickedness of their ways. Ruth came out of that. This is a great story about the forgiveness and blessings of God. This is a great story. Naomi tells Ruth, go to Boaz, lay at his feet, and pull his cover over you. Now, before you have any misconceptions of this being a seduction, it was not a seduction. It was a covenant move to say that I need your covering over me, because I no longer have the ability to provide for myself. I come from a wicked, wicked family. I come from a terrible situation, and I don't deserve to be redeemed but like the children of Israel. But I'm asking you out of mercy to be a covering for me. And Boaz honored that, and he went the very same day. He went to the city square. And at the city square, he said, there is one person who has a higher authority in the family than me, and I need to visit with him. So he went to the city square, brought the man to the city square, and he says, there's a piece of ground that if you need to redeem it, it's yours, and you need it. And the guy says, oh yeah, I'll redeem it. And he said, but don't you hate the horse traders that are always smarter than you. Here's a great deal for you. You get this piece of ground. But if you claim it, you have to marry a Moabite woman. And the Word of God says that if you marry a Moabite woman, the Moabite curses would and can be upon you. But you have to understand that's part of the deal. The guy goes, oh, don't want any of that. Use the flimsy excuse, my wife won't like this. And so Boaz says, well, if that's the case, I want to redeem the land and I will marry this woman. And listen, my tender little heart goes to such a view of appreciation, because this is exactly what God does for each of us when we fall in worship at his feet. And he takes and covers us. And the Bible says the covering is a family covering. It's a covering of blood through which the sins will never be remembered ever again. Even generational sins. Guys, every one of us come from families of curses upon curses upon curses. And the Bible says that every one of those sins will be visited on to the next generation. And part of the problems that we experience is those generational curses that come upon us, are visited upon us. We accept them and continue the process generationally. But Jesus said that I will break those curses. I can win the victory over those curses. I can win victory over sin. And the beauty of this, the great beauty of this, Ruth, the next generation, she had a son from Boaz, and he was the father of a guy named Jesse. Those of you who know generations, in the Old Testament, you're beginning to rejoice now, because Jesse was that guy who was a sheep rancher, and he had a bunch of sons. So it was Ruth, Obed, Jesse, and Jesse begat a bunch of sons, and the youngest one was a sheep herder that killed a lion with his bare hands. Killed a bear, was trying to steal a sheep, and became king of Israel 3 generations later instead of 10 generations later because of the mercy of God. He was a kinsman. So moving on, here's the moving on. There's 4 factors in the moving on. We, because of our sinful nature, because of the sinful nature that we are born into, we're born under condemnation. The first thing that happens is God removes the condemnation, forgives our sins, accepts us as pure and holy before him, and gives us eternity with Christ, and condemnation is gone. He then again restores what he planned for us when he planned our life at the very beginning. And the Bible has so many stories about people who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and how God can take a nothing person and make something out of nothing. And our legacy is developed. You realize the 4 ladies mentioned in the genealogy of Christ were just... The only one that had a great reputation is actually Ruth, and she had the worst advantage of all of them. The other one was a prostitute. The other one prostituted herself because the kinsmen wouldn't take care of themselves. There was Ruth, and then there was Bathsheba, who committed adultery with David. Those are the 4 women mentioned in the Bible in the genealogy of Christ, and Christ forgave to the point where he made a star out of a person who was nothing. Man, God wants to make something greater out of your life. He wants to make something great out of your life. You are a treasured possession to God. You are treasured enough that he sent his son to die on the cross to be the kinsman and represent you before the throne of God. And when the great throne comes up and we get to step before the throne of God, the kinsman that's going to be representing us. It would be Jesus. God's only beloved. The court is stacked for us when we're accepted. All we have to do to be accepted is ask. Wow. Such a great thing. So this is the thing. I hope this concept causes you out of appreciation before God. As we close this service, I hope it causes you to find a place where you can kneel before God in your own special way, renew your covenant with him, and ask him to put his covering over you because he's prepared and ready. He will be your kinsman. He will be your family redeemer because you're accepted in the family. Now it doesn't matter what your history is. When you commit your life to Christ, he commits his life to you. So here's the questions. Number one. If unforgiveness has become your religion and bitterness of all the things that are going on, if you're a slave to bitterness, and if you feel like you are the avenger slash God, and you're taking up all of these positions, you can put that at the feet of Jesus Christ right now. And when you do, you come under a covenant time with an experience with God where God can make out of you everything that he planned to in the beginning that we've just completely messed up. Bow your heads, please. Our Heavenly Father, thank you today for the story of Ruth and Boaz. God, I pray that you would challenge our hearts today. God, today I specifically have targeted people who are dealing with unforgiveness and bitterness and feel vengeful in their hearts. God, that you would take them and become their kinsman. Take them and become their family redeemer. God, I pray that you take them, as you said, and put them under your wing. And under the cloak of your blessings, redeem them, restore them to the place that they need to be, that you planned for them, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Keep your head bowed for a moment. Folks, today is the day of your salvation. Today is the day of your redemption. Forgiveness is sometimes really difficult. God didn't say this is going to be easy. All you have to do is say these three words and boom, it's going to be gone. But God will give you the ability, step by step, to progress through these things to where healing will happen. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for my sins. Please forgive me. Come into my heart. Please redeem me by the blood of the Lamb. I want to be in the family. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.